Welcome back to another episode of Check Call. Today we have Brian Crystal, CEO and co-founder of Isometric Technologies, to shed some light on the supply chain performance measurement and data management problem and the importance of measuring cost to serve. This week on the newsletter, we are covering more tips, tricks, and tools to work more collaboratively with carriers and shippers. Don't forget to subscribe on freightwaves.com/checkcall if you have not already. Before we dive into our guest interview, there is some good news in the world that you should check out. Fast Fashion is under fire once again. The Fashion Sustainability and Social Accountability Act in the state, proposed in the state of New York, is aimed at addressing the sustainability aspect of fast fashion and fashion retailers. So this act is proposing that any retailer that has worldwide revenue exceeding $100 million would have to disclose its environmental, social, policies and impacts. Retailers would also have to create targets and strategies to prevent and reduce adverse environmental and social impacts. Retailers would have to map at least 50% of their suppliers by volume across all tiers of production, which could be a major challenge to some fashion brands. These requirements would be enforceable by the Attorney General, meaning that like any fines or any non-compliance with this will result in major thousands of dollars of fines. While legislation for this is relatively new to the transportation industry, as retailers are forced to green up their supply chain and carbon footprints, brokers, 3PLs, logistics managers, etc., will start thinking and planning ahead to solve customer supply chain challenges in a new way. Whether it's cutting down on the amount of empty miles a customer had, or implementing some consolidation partnerships, this is the time to start having those conversations internally to figure out what you can do to create a greener supply chain for some of your customers and work proactively before regulations like this come down. Now, our sonar chart of the show is retail sales this week. Consumers have been spending more than ever in the last 2 years. Within the e-commerce market, fashion takes 46% of the pie, meaning if consumer buying stays as hot as it has been, these sustainability acts that are passed, the industry as a whole has to change quickly. Today, we have Brian Crystal, CEO and co-founder of Isometric Technologies. Hi, Brian. How's it going?
Doing well. Thanks, Mary. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. I'm really happy to have you guys on here. I'm big fans of you guys, so I'm excited to dig into it and tell everyone else how amazing you guys are. So the unique thing that you guys have is that, so obviously scorecarding is something that everybody uses. Everybody loves to measure metrics and performance and everything like that, regardless of if it's good or bad. Like, you need a scorecard. It's the way of the future. So you guys have a very unique ability in your scorecards to automatically kind of update them. Like, not necessarily automatically update, but like more, you don't have to wait for the end of the month to then go back through every month and the whole month and like dispute some of them. So what kind of led you guys to adopt that kind of model opposed to just the typical scorecarding model?
Yeah, so great question. So ISO was really created to solve a massive performance measurement and data management problem in the supply chain. That no one was really addressing, especially through the scorecarding process today. And so what we did is we really looked at, how transportation spend was allocated and what the industry looked like. And so in a world where transportation spend, counts for roughly 10% of cost of goods sold for shippers, and 80% of that transportation spend is contracted through RFPs on an annual basis, the only data available in the market to differentiate a 500,000 carriers, call it, is whether or not they have insurance or accident history, right? Safety scores. And so there was no verified third-party source of service data available to really inform procurement decisions. And it just doesn't exist. And therefore, when you really kind of think about it, the supply chain overall is at a disadvantage because there is no standardization of measuring performance across the carrier network, because everyone has their own way to do it, their own scorecarding process, either with their TMS that they have today or most oftentimes done manually. So it was really kind of an opportunity that we saw.
as someone who came from a procurement background, I can 100% vouch for that. The whole like, well, their carrier 411 seems clean, so let's go ahead and try it and see what happens. Like, there's no major like accidents or anything crazy on it. So like, what's the worst that could happen? Turns out a lot is the worst that could happen.
Totally. There's many downstream business impacts and monetary impacts for companies, based on deliveries. And so what makes it even more challenging is when you think about the downstream business impact, you know, challenges in procurement decisions up front and being based on price and relationship alone really can't affect that. And so, what was really interesting to us and oftentimes a misconception is the space is, you know, companies have millions of supply chain data points, including internal carrier scorecards, as we mentioned. But it's extremely challenging to derive insights from this data or really take action on it. So when you think about what's the monetary impact of service or this carrier versus that carrier on this lane into that retailer or that retailer, it's really challenging to get that granular. And so, you know, critical supply chain data lives in these siloed systems of record, right? Carriers have their source of truth, the shipper has their source of truth, and there's entire, you know, teams at these organizations, as we know, that's dedicated to connecting order data with transportation data, carrier performance, retailer invoices to understand what fully happened on a shipment, right? And so, you know, even with, you know, companies that have dedicated teams of analysts, when they have that luxury, they have that size to be able to, you know, allocate resources to understanding what are these discrepancies, things of that sort, it's really challenging and really time consuming to dig in and understand, you know, and accurately predict at the end of the day, you know, what is, you know, your supply chain costing you? And so they're losing out on a lot of money.
One of the 3PLs I worked for previously, they had an entire carrier management team. And this carrier management team, all they did was scorecards for people. Like, they would sit there and if a carrier had, they would generate the scorecard, send them to them. And if the carrier was like, no, this is wrong, like, this is what happened on this, like, here's the proof and everything like that, then they would go in and adjust it and everything like that. And they, I cannot tell you how much time they spent, and they did it on just LTL carriers, not truckload. Like, they just did it on, did you deliver on time? Did you damage something? And like, did you get there within X amount of days for your days of like, for your days of transit? And they were always busy. And I mean, we have a lot of business, but we didn't have like, it was just the LTL carriers. Like, they're every customer used like the one, like they had 12 total carriers. I mean, there was some more, but for the most part, there was 12 like core carriers that were like the big national carriers that they would work with. And they would just spend hours and hours every day, just like their whole job was just going through and like, well, what happened on this? What happened on this? Well, okay, well, that was from 2 months ago. We don't really want to update it. So you're just going to have a bad record that week, that month. Like, sorry about ya. But then they would in turn take that back to our customers and be like, hey, those are your carriers who are underperforming in the individual warehouses. And they're like, so you should stop using these underperforming carriers. And the warehouses would be like, no, this is like our carrier that we like to use. Like, we will not load anyone else. Like, that data has to be wrong. Or if it's right, like, we don't care, we're still going to use it. So people get so like entrenched in what they know and what's comfortable, even if it's losing them service and everything like that. So when you guys have a problem like that, where you have a carrier that's like failing to perform, but you have a customer that's like, no, this is my carrier, I refuse to do anything else. Do you guys just kind of go like, well, that's on you? Or do you kind of coach them along to be like, well, you could be getting so much more out of this carrier that performs better. And like, here's the data behind it.
Yeah. So it's a great question. So, you know, existing scorecarding process today never really provide a clear picture of what actually happens. And so first and foremost, reconciling performance data is extremely manual. And it's time consuming process. It's done weeks or months after the fact. And it's a reactionary process. And at the end of the day, it's challenging for both the shipper and the carrier, right? There's redundant manual work being done after the fact to figure out, you know, what happened, why it happened, who's accountable. And so when you have, you know, inaccurate data in the TMS, and you're generating scorecards based on that data, it creates those waterfalls of manual work for both parties. And so manually reconciling these and submitting, you know, PODs, screenshots of email threads, backup docs, et cetera, you know, things that you were mentioning, and passing those back and forth through email or stagnant portals, the context gets lost. And the challenge with not having that context is, you know, that context never gets published back into a TMS or a system of record. And so, you know, the majority of the time, a carrier will say, I'm 96% on time. And the shipper will say, no, you're 93% on time. And so what happens is you waste the first half an hour of a QBR arguing about the discrepancies rather than focusing on how to improve and be a strategic partner. And so the way that we'd look at it is everybody wins when you have a single source of truth, when you have multiple parties involved with a shipment that can agree to what happened, and you can actually start to optimize the supply chain network together. It's not just one party. It's just not one piece of the supply chain. And so
QBRs can actually be a real conversation where you're not just sitting there and the customer's going, this is horrible, you don't do your job. And the carrier's like, no, we do our job, it's fine. And they're like, no, you don't. And you just have to sit there and go like, can we talk about literally anything else? Like, how about how we improve something? And they're like, well, we never were wrong in the first place. I personally would love to sit in those QBR meetings because I have not ever sat in one that goes that well.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about performance and service, it's the main differentiator for a carrier and broker, right? A truckload's a truckload, you know, right. And, you know, but the business impact is very different. They're not all created equal. And so when you're selecting a carrier, or selecting a broker, service is the differentiating factor. And so if you can get both parties to have better visibility and remove the friction and ambiguity around, you know, what happened, he said, she said, you know, here's the contextual information that supports this source of truth. Now you walk into a QBR, Marion, it's, you're both looking at 96% on time. And right. So when you're looking at
those are like facts and data, you don't have to sit there and be like, well, is it not? Is it is? You're like, nope, this is your scorecard. This is how you're performing. Now let's talk about ways we can actually improve and help everything.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest opportunities that there is because at the end of the day, you have a retailer buying product from a vendor selecting a carrier broker to do the transport and delivering the retailer, and there's service level expectations involved. And so while you have customer logistics teams that interact with retailers and they're trying to service those customers and make sure that products are showing up on time and they're on shelves for us to consume as buyers, carriers and brokers are a huge component of that, right? It's not, you know, today it feels very much like you're just fighting the KPIs because performance in service is how you grow your business as a carrier. It's how you differentiate. You have millions of dollars of revenue on the line with every QBR that you go into, right? But the process at which you kind of, you know, reconcile that and try to, you know, surface that to the vendors is a carrier is challenging. And so, you know, there's a huge opportunity when you have this kind of source of truth on the carrier side between a carrier and their customers. And when you can take shipment data and you can connect that with order data, right, and apply those SLAs of a retailer customer to understand what's the monetary impact of service and all of these shipments, it can paint a clearer picture of what happened down to the order. Think lens of the customer. Yeah. So there's a huge opportunity for carriers to be way more strategic, right? The world of just fighting on-time delivery, on-time pickup, tender acceptance, like we want to get away from that and create a better way for these parties to work together. And then once you've started to solve that, now you can be more strategic and say, hey, how do we actually help you serve your customers better, but actually do it versus talk about it? And this is one step there.
Have you guys had any hard times getting carriers to buy into this process? Because I know a lot of carriers don't like to do extra work. Or do you find that it's like, oh no, they're willing to participate because it is a way for them to grow their business and improve and have positive metrics? Like, is there a lot of resistance there of like, well, we're not going to do it? Or is it just like, haha, the blame's not mine. Here's why.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So we have seen strong engagement from the carrier network. It's been the opposite of what might think. And you know, really part of that is that we're helping carriers and brokers differentiate themselves through service, and we are digitizing a process that they are already accustomed to. Everybody knows what it's like to go into, you know, TMS portals and submit documents, and then it never gets updated, or most of the time it's emails, you know, of PODs
and screenshots. I sent it to Sue and Sue never sent it up, or I sent it to the imaging department and they never imaged it or sent it in, or they put it in, but they put it in on the wrong load because they read the wrong VOL number. The list is endless.
Exactly. The list is endless. And so that's the challenge. It becomes tribal knowledge. And that information doesn't make it back into a database, you know, or the TMS. And so that's why most of the time you end up with this, I'm a carrier showing 96% and the shipper's at 93. And, you know, we have, you know, data that shows that up to 30% of TMS data is actually wrong. Or missing information, right? You have inaccurate EDI, you have missing EDI, you have just information that is not being cleaned or contextualized. And so that's really what we're helping to do too. It's not just about, you know, the shipper or the carrier, it's about both of them and being agnostic in that and helping them to resolve these discrepancies and remove that friction and ambiguity and really focus on optimizing the relationship. And so What's great about carriers and the adoption, they love ICE. And they have been,
I mean, it takes a lot of the blame off them. If they can provide the documentation, send it to you guys and be like, see, look, we were fine. And then the customer has to be like, ah, well, I guess that they're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, carrier at the end of the day is naturally incentivized and motivated to monitor and stay on top of scorecards already. And this is a process that they're already doing, and ISO is making it easier by creating modern day workflow tools and digitizing those processes. Like, let's get out of the world of downloading the spreadsheet, scrolling through pivot tables, emailing your carrier managers. Like, there's better ways to do that. And honestly, like, the industry needs it. If you're a carrier or broker, right, like low profit margins. Right. There's a lot of waste in the supply chain, and there's a lot of efficiencies that can be gained through collaborative workflow and really data collaboration at the end of the day.
So you mean it does not have to be an account manager pulling down a list of loads, going through their Excel sheet, going, well, I need to get documentation for this one, this one, this one. And then I'm going to reach out to my carrier reps who hopefully will remember to send like an email to their carrier that day. And then we wait a week and then, hey, can you check on that again? Hey, can you check that again? You mean it doesn't have to take 3 weeks to get proof and documentation for one shipment sometimes?
Exactly. Yeah. And oh, by the way, it was on a shipment from a month ago. Right. So I can barely remember what I did last week. You know, how can you remember when you're moving hundreds of shipments a day, you know, what happened? And so, you know, in many cases, what we're seeing is that, you know, because of ISO, carriers are becoming more efficient because of that, right? Account managers can collaborate through the ISO platform with their carrier managers to reconcile discrepancies faster, share documentation, and really kind of improve their operating margins. So what we're starting to see is they are able to reconcile more discrepancies in data than they were pre-ISO. And so it only positively impacts their performance metrics, which directly correlates to winning more business. And that is absolutely a cool thing to see.
Because one of the places I worked at before, their account managers were kind of one of their metrics that they were, I don't want to say graded on, but like their bonus compensation was based off of was like, how accurate are your invoices? How accurate are you using your routing guide the most? If not, why not? And so that's when some of the external carrier scorecards would come into play. It's like, well, I stopped using X carrier because they had 80% on time percentage and they just were not fulfilling it. So we went to the slightly more expensive carrier that provided better service. And they had like, they were expected to have the documentation and data to back that up. Otherwise it was seen as like non-compliant. And so nobody wants that. And then if they maintained that and they maintained it at certain levels, then obviously they got a bonus each month and they're affected their overall compensation. So that's a pretty strong incentive to make sure that all your documentation's there, everything is there. So that's exciting that you guys are just kind of like, we're a one-stop shop platform. We can help you with that. You don't have to sit there and hunt people down for weeks.
Totally. Totally. The emergence of the cloud outside of unlocking, you know, incredible data points across the supply chain through telematics, ELD devices, IoT, it's kind of one piece of the equation. It's kind of the what is happening. But to build in collaborative workflow amongst parties and data collaboration is super impactful when you pull in all those data points to say, all right, here's what happened, but why did it happen? Who's accountable for that? And how do you start to understand what's the monetary impact of that?
And, right. And it really like you said, if it's something with like, oh, their EDI, there was a problem with EDI, it's not sending correctly. Well, that's an easy fix that you can instantly implement and just be like, oh, let's reestablish this connection, change this, this, and then, oh, now it's not a problem. And we don't have to go through this. Like you're just solving long-term problems with, oh, it's just an EDI error. Well, we wouldn't have known that otherwise if we didn't sit there and go through all this.
Exactly. Exactly right.
It's fantastic. It's such a time saver. Such a time saver.
Big time saver. And on top of that, when you start to take it a step further and you really build in workflow automation tools, now you're really driving, time savings for operators, both on the shipper and carrier side. I mean, how many times does a carrier get awarded, five loads a day on a lane and they end up getting tendered 10 loads? And they decline the five because they don't have capacity, but they didn't sign up for it. It dings their tender compliance report. I told Sue these five, tenders that, we were over tendered. It shouldn't go against us. But the problem with that today, if you really think about it, it just created a workflow for both the shipper and the carrier. And what we've actually, recently launched was workflow automation tools, where you can now start to build in rules and you can automate that away when you can understand, what's the awards that a shipper's given to a carrier, and when our TMS, over tender, how do you auto resolve that and understand that rather than create these workflow streams that are totally unnecessary if you think about it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because sometimes the carrier will have capacity for it and they're like, yeah, sure, we can take these 10 loads, no problem. But other times like, yo, we're going to be good to cover these five. Like we're good. We're good.
Exactly. So when we pull data through in ISO and we bounce them off these KPIs, we can actually build in rules to automate and resolve those exceptions and discrepancies without, carrier, account managers or carrier operators at shippers having to do any work. And that's pretty awesome. And that's really given more time back in their day.
That is something that I wish that I had when I was doing that. Like there are so many things that are out now that I'm like, where was this? Like I could have saved so much time that I could have been out there like doing other loads, like finding more carriers, like trying to increase my carrier retention. Like I could have done so much more. So I'm very excited that you guys exist and you guys are kind of taking over and being like, no, we're going to save you time and money. And you're going to also like be able to make more money as well. Because if I don't have to sit there and hunt down paperwork, that's more time that I can spend booking loads.
Definitely. Sounds like you might be getting back in the carrier game one day.
I don't know. I don't think we'll go that far. But we are almost out of time today. So everyone that comes on the show has to answer one question. Are you ready for it? It is the most important question of the day.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Well, it is, it's condiments and it has, meat in between bread. So I guess,
but it's a hinged bread.
It's a hinged bread. You could press it down and make it look more like a sandwich. I would say a hot dog is a derivative of a sandwich.
Sandwich adjacent, if you will.
Sandwich adjacent. Yes.
Okay. All right. I like that. Well, thanks so much for coming today. And that's honestly like the first sandwich adjacent that we've had in the hot dog question.
All right. Well, you know, ISO is the first to do what we do. We like to be, disruptors in a good way.
Find Check Call the podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Don't forget to check out the other amazing FreightWaves podcasts, such as Point of Sale, American on 18 Wheels, and Loaded and Rolling. Don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter on FreightWaves.com/checkcall. See you on the internet.